you know, and then that were the United States was involved in attempting to defeat.
Okay, we got to end on that note. I think we got your point, and I really appreciate your coming on my show, Ron Jacobs. Go to Counterpunch to see his latest article and lots of other great stuff. Thanks a lot, Ron.
Thank you. Have a good day.
And support KBOO, kbo.fm/give. We really appreciate it. Paul Rowland signing off, Wednesday Talk Radio. Thanks, Ty.
Oh, you're slick, you investors in hate. You Saddams and you Bushes. You Bin Ladens and snakes. You billionaire bullies. You're a globalized curse. You put war on the masses and then you clean out the purse. And that's how it's done. War after war. You old feudal.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m. Next up is Fight the Empire.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fograng, and the show is Fight the Empire. And we will take your calls and questions and comments at 503-231-8187. I hope people will listen to Paul Rowland's show before this. It was really very, very interesting. And so we can kind of continue in the same vein. Listening to the news about Ukraine, it's a little bit like coming into the middle of a movie. And there's so much, a lot of talk about how to get Russia out of Ukraine, and it might be worthwhile to look back on how Russia got involved when they were not involved. And we go back to 1990, when NATO, presumably in 1990, you know, the Soviet Union was collapsing, and so it was like... people were asking, well, maybe NATO had done its, had served its purpose, and they should go out on a high note, but they didn't. NATO instead moved east, kind of gobbling up the old Warsaw Pact nations, and moved right up to the borders of Russia. And then some years later, in the year 2014, Viktor Yanukovych was ousted. He was the president of Ukraine, and he was friendly to, he had good relations with Russia, and he was thrown out of office, even though he was the elected president. He was thrown out by the street uprising or riots or whatever you want to call them, and he was replaced. And so his political support, a lot of it had come from eastern Ukraine. You know, it's a very divided country. If you look at the map, there's the western Ukraine is sort of focuses on relations with Europe, where eastern Ukraine, a lot of Russian-speaking people, are the majority, and they have good ties with family and friends in Russia. And so they were the Yanukovych support. When he was thrown out of office, you know, maybe they felt that they might be next in some way, and so they seceded from Ukraine, and that's sort of the reason why that happened. Later on, supporters of were protesting in Odessa, and they had taken refuge in a union building, a trade union hall, and people outside, the street mob, set fire to the building, and something like 50-some people were burned to death in this this building burned in Odessa. And it was sort of, it was then after that that Russia invaded, and now there are sanctions on Russia, and they're sort of, in a way, they are backfiring, because with the sanctions on Russia, they apparently are short of dollars to make payments on the debt that they owe.
Per, we're having audio difficulties. We're going to have to try to reset here.
Do you want me to call back in again?
Yeah, I'll call back in again in a few minutes. I'm going to try to reset the whole system here.
So what should I do then? Call? I should hang up?
Yeah, hang up, and we'll try.
And then I'll call back right away, or wait a minute?
Wait a minute.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you. We're aware of the audio difficulties. We're going to try to fix that and be right back with you with Fight the Empire. Hello, Kabu. Still happening. Shoot. Well, I'll put you back on. It's still causing problems.
Well, I assume I am on the air. This is Per Fogarty again with Fight the Empire. We're having some kind of technical difficulties, and I hope that people can hear me. We were talking about Ukraine and some of the background, where you know, NATO had moved back in 1990. NATO had moved east, right up to the borders of Russia, and then in 2014, Viktor Yanukovych was the elected president of Ukraine. And he was thrown out of office by people in the streets, so-called Maidan Revolution. And his supporters, a lot of them came from eastern Ukraine, and maybe they felt that they were in danger, so they seceded. And then sometime after that, the supporters were burned to death in Odessa, in a trade union hall was set on fire. And so that was what went on before Russia invaded. And so now there are sanctions on Russia, which and apparently Russia cannot, because of the sanctions, Russia apparently cannot make payments on its debt in dollars, or they don't choose to, whatever it is, and so they will pay in rubles, which I don't know if that makes the holders of the debt very happy, but that is sort of the background of what's going on in Ukraine now. If people want to call in with questions or comments, the number is 503-231-8187. It's a very interesting article that in the UK Guardian. Apparently, at one time, Vladimir Putin wanted Russia to join NATO, but did not want his country to have to go through the usual application process and stand in a long line. This is from the UK Guardian. George Robertson, a former Labour Defence Secretary who led NATO between 1999 and 2003, said Putin made it clear at their first meeting that he wanted Russia to be part of Western Europe. They wanted to be part of that secure, stable, prosperous West that Russia was out of at that time, he said. The Labour peer recalled an early meeting with Putin, who became Russian president in 2000. Quote, Putin said, "When are you going to invite us to join NATO?" And Robertson said, "Well, we don't invite people to join NATO. They apply to join." And he said, "Well, we're not standing in line with a lot of countries that don't matter." Anyway, the account chimes in with what Putin told the late David Frost in a BBC interview shortly before he was inaugurated as a Russian president more than 21 years ago. Putin told Frost he would not rule out joining NATO, quote, if and when Russia's views are taken into account as those of an equal partner, unquote. He told Frost it was hard for him to visualize NATO as an enemy. Quote, Russia is part of the European culture, and I cannot imagine my own country in isolation from what we all often call the civilized world. Lord Robertson's comments on the One Decision podcast underscore how Putin's worldview has evolved during his 21 years of rule in Russia. After the Orange Revolution street protests in 2004, Putin became increasingly suspicious of the West, which he blamed for funding pro-democracy NGOs. He was further angered by NATO's continuing expansion in Central and Eastern Europe. Romania, Bulgaria, Slovakia, Slovenia, Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania chose to join the alliance in 2004. Croatia and Albania followed in 2009. Georgia and Ukraine were promised membership in 2008, but have remained outside. Robertson also recalled how he became the first and only NATO Secretary General to invoke NATO's collective defense clause in the wake of the 9/11 attacks. So this is some of the background to the present problems that NATO and the West are having with Russia. At one time, Russia actually wanted to be part of that alliance. This is going back to the article in The Guardian. Some NATO allies are uneasy about invoking the collective defense clause to support the U.S., fearing it would give George W. Bush's administration a license to invade Iraq. Robertson recalled one minister asking him, does this mean we're giving a blank check to Iraq? We said, no, it's not. Anyway, this is some of the background to what is going on now. If you want to call with a question or a comment, give us a call at 503-231-8187. So the thing to keep in mind, I believe, is that a lot of things are going on before Russia invaded, and perhaps Russia, for whatever reason, you know, they might have felt endangered or felt that they were next as NATO moved up to their borders. So there's another article of Medea Benjamin of Code Pink and Nicholas Davies. They have an article about how U.S. has empowered and armed neo-Nazis in Ukraine.
Barth is on the line.
We have somebody on the line. Mark is on the line. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Greg. It's Barth. The one thing I was going to say about them wanting to pay them in rubles is rubles are now less than one for the penny. I mean, they're worth nothing. So if he's paying out in rubles, his bill is going to be exponentially higher.
Okay, well, uh-huh.
That's my big thought for today. I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Well, supposedly Russia has a, you know, they have their own stash of dollars and gold and whatever. You know, Russia has their stash of gold and dollars, and whether they can make that payment or not is anybody's guess. Sometimes I think that there's so much.
Sorry, Perry, we're having some real bad audio difficulties. I'm gonna have to try shutting it out again.
Okay, we're gonna hang up again.
Yeah, hang up again. Thank you.
And call back or what?
Yeah, call back.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is coming through okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great honor and pleasure to bring a gentleman to the stand that is, I mean, he's a legend and he's still one of the greatest saxophonists around. One of my favorites, so everybody's favorite. So please give a warm welcome to George Coleman, ladies and gentlemen.
Pear Fogreg again. Apparently, we're having a real bad connection. I don't know if people can hear me or not. But anyway, if people want to, I don't know if people should try calling in or not. Let us know if you can hear us. The number to call is 503-231-8187. We were talking about how the U.S. was involved in Ukraine going way back to the year 2000, and then how the
KBOO that we're having audio difficulties at this time. Please bear with us. Fight the Empire show will have to be discontinued for today. Pear wants to apologize to the listeners trying to listen in, but please bear with us. We'll try to fix things up shortly. Thank you.